week said with Parshas Noso, we have the din of Nesias Kapayim, that the Kohanim are supposed to give a bracha to Bnei Yisrael when they request the bracha, because brachas Bnei Yisrael amor lahem. So the Pshuto Shal Mikra amor lahem, the Kohanim should recite the three psukim to the Tzibur, lohem to the Bnei Yisrael. Yibrach Hashem Yishmerach and so on. The Torah Shabbal Peh interprets the pasuk just the opposite from the Pshuto Shal Mikra. Kosavochas Bnei Yisrael, Amor Lahem, when the Bnei Yisrael request of the Kohanim that they want a bracha. And that's how it says in the Targum Unkelis on the Pasik. Amor Lahem says, Katem Runahon. When the Tzibur will request a bracha, then the Kohanim should give the bracha. So, strictly speaking, if the Tzibur doesn't request a bracha, the Kohanim are not Mukhayiv Teduchan. So, the meaning of the Chutz Lord somehow developed over the centuries. That we only duchen on Yontif when everybody's in a happy mood and a relaxed mood, because the Kohanim have to give the bracha. In a happy mood, and they always had a daikas harparnasa. Even on Shabbosim, they were nervous about parnasa. They weren't supposed to be oisik in parnasa on Shabbos, but they were not. They were not happy because they never made so much money. So they're only relaxed on Yontif. So the meaning was the Tzibur only requested a bracha of the Kohanim on Yontif. So that it's a difficult meaning. The problem is that the Targum Unkelis is not supposed to give Torah Shabbat, it's supposed to give Pshuto Shel Mikra. So why did the Targum put in the word Katem Ronahon? So there's a little soft cover sefer that's called Toldos Odom. It's the biography of Rab Zelma Levaloziner. That was the younger brother of Rab Chaim Valoziner. They say he also was learning by the Vilna Gaon. Whenever the Vilna Gaon didn't remember a Gemara, Rab Zelma would rattle off the Gemara for him. What does it mean? The Vilna Gaon didn't remember a Gemara in Rab Zelma. So they tell different vertloch that Rab Zelma said, different chidushi halacha. So this is one of them. He said, he thinks that the word kad teim alone in Targum Unkelis is a mistake, because the next pasuk, Yisa Hashem panav eilecho, v'samash mina b'nei Yisrael's pasuk chov dalet. So the word chov dalet was in small letters, meaning the next pasuk is pasuk chov dalet. And by mistake, when they set the type, so the two letters chov dalet floated into the middle of the pasuk in the Targum Unkelis, and they put in kad teim alone. But really, the Targum Unkelis is supposed to always give the Pshuto Shel Mikra, not supposed to give the drushes of the Torah Shabbat. Because the Torah Shabbat interprets Katem Amor Lahem when the Tzibur requests of them, of the Kohanim. So the Gemara says only if there are two or more Kohanim, then you have a right to demand of them, we want you to give us a bracha. But if there's only a single coin, you have no right to request of him. You have no right to demand that he should give a bracha. Some Rishonim say that the duchening, when there's only one coin, is only midirabbanan. Others say it's not midirabbanan, but they're not the koyan yechidi is not mechuyev to duchen. But we have no right to request of him to duchen because he's not mechuyev. Rabbi Yankov Hemdin is quoted by Rabbi Yankov Hemdin, wrote a sefer on the tour in the Beis Yosef on Arachayim, and Mishneh Berurah quotes it here in Siman Kuf Chav Ches, that the one siman has all the dinim of Nesias Kapayim. Mishneh Berurah quotes it not in the Mishneh Berurah, not in the Bir HaLacha, not in the Shar HaTzion. It has an asterisk on a line on the text of the Shulchan Aruch, and he has a footnote on the bottom of the page below the Shar HaTzion. The Rabbi Yankov Hemdin writes that duchening today is only mid the Rabbanan, based on the Gemara in Sot on Perik El and Nemorim. Most of the dinim of Nesias Kapayim appear there, Perik El and Nemorim. What's it doing in the end of Sot? Because the Mishnah lists off which mitzvahs of Amira have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew and which can be fulfilled in translation. So it says Nesias Kapayim has to be in the original Hebrew. Not Yotze if you recite Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha in translation. So it has most of the dinim there. Some of the dinim are scattered about all over Shas. Most of the dinim are there in Perek El Namar. So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that you only do Nesias Kapayim at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur. So there's Banchayim Beis HaMikdash Kaim, there's no Karbonas Tzibur. So Duchening obviously is only Midirabonim. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Rabbi Akiva from Emden, and he proves that he's wrong. He shows from the Gemara that Duchenik today is the Raisa. How can it be the Raisa? He's wrong, but he's right. Isn't that what it says in the Gemara, that you only Duchen at the conclusion of Hakrobas Karbonas Tziba? So the Keren Oira was the younger brother of the Mishkan Yanka. Mishkan Yanka learned the Maloshin. He was one of the early Talmidim of Rapaim Baloshina. And he used to visit the yeshiva every year. Rapaim Baloshina was always mechabed him to give a shir in the yeshiva. It's very strong tshuvas. Mishnah Berurah quotes him often, Halacha Lamaisa, where he reverses the psak and the Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berurah goes along a lot. Rav Soloveitchik liked it very much. He said, when we were learning Hilchas Tefillin, Hilchas Tzitzis, he made a comment, Mishkan Asanki writes like a Rishon. Right? So a lot of times he writes very strong tshuvas. So he said, Rav Soloveitchik said over from the Keren Ara is, the younger brother of the Mishkan Asanki wrote on Kotshim. He has on Zvochem and on Menoches, and he has on Dorim Nosu Saito also. So he comes to explain, how do we have Duchening Bizbanasef? You don't have any Akrobas Karbonas Tzibur. So Rav Soloveitchik said it over, he added on a lot, but the basic Nikuda he said in the name of the Keren Ara. He said, B'Shem Amasa, he said, there's a concept of Korban Yochid and Korban Tzibur. There are differences halacha l'maisa. So just like there's a Korban Yochid and Korban Tzibur, when they bring the Korbanos Tzibur in the Beis HaMikdash, all the Jews all over the world are Yotzei with the Korbanos Tzibur, even though they're not in the Beis HaMikdash. There's such a thing as Tfilas HaYochid and Tfilas HaTzibur. This idea was developed by the Meshulta Giborim. Meshulta Giborim, next to the last page of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara says, when the Chazan repeats the Chazaras HaShatz, even the farmers who don't come to Shul, they live too far away, Chutz L'Trum, they can't walk there on Shabbos Yant. Everybody's Yotzi with the Chazaras HaShatz. That's called Am Shebasodos. The Am Shebasodos, the people, the farmers, who don't show up in the Shul, they Yotzi. What kind of an idea is that? How would they Yotzi? There's no Shemekah Aina. So the Shulti Giborim, often quotes the Riaz, that's the grandson of the Tosis Rid Rabbeinu Yeshaya Achron, Tosis Rid Rabbeinu Yeshaya Arishan, and his grandson Rabbeinu Yeshaya Achron Zal, that's called Riaz. Sometimes Riaz is Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Yitzchok or Zaruah, and sometimes it's Rabbeinu Yeshaya Achron Zal. So the Shach writes in Yeridaya that sometimes the Rishonim quote the Riaz as saying contradictory things. The answer is there were two Riazes, two different people. Lived Riaz, Rabbeinu Yeshaya, the Tosafot lived in Italy, and the Rabbeinu Yitzchok Ozaro lived in Vienna. They're two different countries, two different people, two different generations. So a lot of times the Shulti Gemara will quote the Riaz. A lot of times he has original things. So this is an original piece. Shulti Gemarim, the work was done, it was written by the same one who put in the Ayin Mishpat, the Mitzvah, and the Torah, or all the cross-references in the Maseches HaShatz. So he has on the Rif, he has the Shulti Gemara. So he has this idea, just like the Karbonos Tzibur brought in the Beis HaMikdash and the Jews all over the world who were not there, Yotzei, so too, I don't think I'm Yotzei, there's Chazaras HaShatz in Los Angeles. I'm not from that Keilah. But if there's Chazaras HaShatz in New York and someone lives near New York, so then Am Shebasodos HaYotzei with the Tfilas HaTzibur that the Chazan offered. So Rav Soloveitchik explained there are two different concepts. This was the first year that he said when he came to America about this. Oh, we spoke about it, no? The other day. He spoke about Chazaras HaShatz, yeah. So he said this tefillah b'tzibur, when 10 people are davening tefillah b'lachash b'tzibur, you stand a better chance of having a tefillah accepted. Then you have tefillah hatzibur that the chazan offers, like the kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash offer a korban tzibur. So here the chazan offers a tefillah hatzibur. So when you say that, we said the whole thing last week, I forgot already. So when you say Shema Koleinu Yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the tefillah, when you say "V'tzei Hashem Elokeinu Be'amcha Yisrael Levisvi Losam," it's not a repeat of "Shema Koleinu Yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu" to accept the tefillah as if we had offered a korban. So when a yochid davens tefillas hayochid, then he says vitzei, he succeeds in converting his tefillas hayochid into a korban yochid. When the chazan recites the chazaras hashatz, that's a tefillas hatzibur. He says vitzei, ritzui means the korban is acceptable. Ritzui is a technical term that means the korban is hurtzu, the korban is kosher. So the chazan succeeds in converting the tefillas hatzibur into a korban tzibur. And this is accomplished min haTorah. So it's considered as if, at the conclusion of Karbonas Tzibur, we have Nesias Kapayim. That's how the Keren Orah defends what the Mishnah Berurah said. It was way before the Mishnah Berurah. He defends what the Mishnah Berurah said, that Duchanik Terei is their Isa, it's not their Rabban. The Gemara has a list of, in different Masechtas, the Gemara has a list of Tanoim and Amoraim who lived to a ripe old age. And the Talmidim ask them by Meharachta Yomim. So each one says a different Midas Chasidus that he did, that he attributes his long life to that Midas Chasidus. So one of them says he was a Kohen, and he was always careful, he would never duchen without reciting the Brocha in advance. What's the Brocha? Shek Dishan Bigdushosu Shalaharam Tzivan Alvachazam Yisod Biyahavo. So the Meiri is bothered with Akasha that said, Din Kalamitz Huskulim Arachalayim Oevelasiyasam. Why is that considered Amidas Chasidus? We always said bracha on Talos and Tfil and our Lokas Neir Shabbos. Everybody says a bracha before you do a mitzvah. What's special about Duchanik? That he deserves to have a bracha. So the Meiri answers an interesting answer. That the Gemara says you're not obligated to Duchan more than once a day. The Mishnah says that the Kohen would Duchan in Chazoras Hashatz and Broyers, they still do on Yontif, they Duchan and the end of Shachris and the end of Musaf. Every Yom Tov. They don't duchen all year long, only on Yom Tov, but on Yom Tov they duchen Shachris and Musaf. So the Keren Orah says on the Gemara and Sota, that's only with the Rabbanim. When I turn, they're not mechuyev to duchen a second time. So there were other, there used to be many more shuls in the neighborhood. Some broyers, there used to be 25 Kohanim would stand on the Bima and say Birchas Kohanim. And some of the other shuls, sometimes there was a small minion, there wasn't a Kohen. So they would ask one of the Kohanim, who usually davens and broyers, to do a favor and come and duchen by them. After he duchens already and broyers, he should come and duchen by them. So that's a question. A Kohen is not mechuyev to duchen a second time in the same day. To duchen Shachris and Musaf, that's a takana de Rabbanim, that yes. But you're not mechuyev to go to another minion to duchen for them. So the question is, if the Kohen volunteers and he's going to duchen a second time, does it make sense that he should recite a bracha shekedushan abikdushas ushalayim v'tzivonu? It's not the tzivonu. No one is mechuyev to duchen a second time unless it's shachris and musaf, which it is. It's a different minyan. So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes achrayim about that. So the Meiri interprets, so the achrayim have sort of a call. Whenever there's a machlokes achrayim, and Rishonim, you don't find a machlokes. The only thing you find, one Rishon says one way, so we adopt that position. So we hear, that's what the latest one writes. Since the Magen Avraham quotes the machlokes achrayim, and Rishonim, the only one who talks about it is the Meiri. And the Meiri interprets that was the Midas Chasidus that he did. He would never duchen without a bracha, even though he's duchening for a different minion. And he's not mechuyev, not menator, not medarbon, he's not mechuyev to duchen for the second minion. Still, he would recite a bracha. So that's the common practice. But a kohen goes to duchen, and he already duchen in his shul, he goes to duchen a second time in another minyan. The common practice is they do say a bracha because of that me'iri. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over Dinitziv. Dinitziv's granddaughter married Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and Rav Soloveitchik was a grandson of Rav Chaim. So Dinitziv is one of his ancestors. So he would be fond of saying over this Nitziv. The Nitziv has a Yesod that Rav Soloveitchik would usually say over from the Maisa Nisim Hagodah. That's the Hagodah by the Nesivos, a commentary on the Hagodah. Nesivos put out a Siddur that has a lot of halachas that the Mishnah Berurah quotes every other page, Derech HaChaim Siddur. So in this Derech HaChaim Siddur that was put out by the Nesivos, he has the Haggadah with his commentary. That's called the Maisa Nisim Haggadah. Now you can get it separately. Maisa Nisim Haggadah printed separately. So the Maisa Nisim and the Hagdamah quotes the Rishonim raised the question, how come we don't recite a bracha before we say the Haggadah? It's a mitzvah like all the mitzvahs. So a different answer is given. He quotes some of the answers that we shouldn't give. Then the Ma'aseh Nisim HaGadol gives his own answer. So they should say it over every year, because the Netziv has it here. The same thing. He says, so the Netziv says, Sipit Yis Mitzrayim is fulfilled on Pesach night within the framework of four brochas alakos. You have Kiddush alakos, Hashir Geolono alakos, the second kos, Birchas Hamazon alakos, and Birchas Hashir. And in between the first and the second, second and third, third and the fourth choices, you have a lot of recitations. So the Ma'aseh Nisim writes in the Hakdamah, when we recite Kiddush on Shabbos, when you recite Birchas HaMazon, that's a mitzvah. How come we don't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah before we say Kiddush? Asher Kiddushan b'mitzvah Shabbos Sivano l'kadesh HaShabbos, and then to recite Kiddush, or Asher Kiddushan b'mitzvah Sivano Levorach al Hamazon, and then to say Birchas Hamazon. Let's say Hamoitzi. You say Baruch Hamoitzi to say Shehakol on a cup of coffee is a mitzvah midrabbana. So how come we don't recite a bracha before you say Shehakol on a cup of coffee? Al Shikadishan be mitzvah yisavitzivano. It's a mitzvah midrabbana, not mitzvah midrabbana. We also say a bracha. How come we don't say Al Shikadishan be mitzvah yisavitzivano? Levorach al Oichlim. So the Nesiva said the answer is whenever the mitzvah itself is fulfilled in the form of a bracha, the Chacham didn't feel it necessary to institute another bracha, Birchas HaMitzvah, in advance of fulfilling the mitzvah. Mitzvah itself is going to be fulfilled in the form of a bracha. So that's what the Nesiva says by Pesach night. Sipi says Messiah is fulfilled not in the form of a bracha, but within the framework of bracha. So the Nesiva said the same is true regarding Duchening. Duchening was a Takanas Chachamim. You have to fulfill Duchening at the conclusion of the Chazaras HaShatz at the end of Hakrovas Karbanas Sipur. That's considered Hakrovas Karbanas Sipur. So since Duchening is a mitzvah that's fulfilled within the framework of brachas, of the 19 brachas of the Shemanes, that's why they never introduced an additional Birchas HaMitzvah in advance. So that was Amidas Chassidus that Amoira used to do. He volunteered on his own. So that's a question. What do you mean you volunteer on your own bracha? Isn't that what we call the bracha of Atola? So he explains a little bit. He doesn't explain too much. He just quotes a passage from the Zohar that the Achrayim quote on Erev Yom Kippur. There was a universal minig that the parents would give a Birchas Hamonim, Birchas Habonim. They would give a bracha to their children, and it's printed in all the Machzorim, the bracha that you give to your children on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Achrayim quote over there a passage from the Zohar that before you're about to give a bracha to a basav adam, you really ought to give a bracha to a Kodesh Baruch Hu first. So they say a pasuk Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen Yamein, Baruch Hashem Mitzion Shechein Yerushalayim Halukov. Say a pasuk that has a bracha to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So over here, that's the question. Over here, instead of saying a pasuk, he said Baruch Ato Hashem Alkeinu Melech Ha'olam Hashem Kedushani B'Kedushos Hashalam Zevon Baruch Hashem Yisod V'Avo. You're allowed to do that. Why didn't they just say a pasuk Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen if the whole reason? So that's, he doesn't fully explain that. Just says the proper thing is to say a bracha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you give a bracha to the boss of Adam. So that's that. Meiri gave his answer. The Meiri said the reason why it's a Midas Chassidus is because he was duchening a second time in the same day for a different zippur, and he's not b'chuyiv for even the Rabbanan to do that. So that was his Midas Chassidus, that he would say a bracha even then. And then Tzib said, no, even if you're duchening for the first time, the Iker Adin, you don't have to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah because the mitzvah of duchening is being fulfilled within the framework of the brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei. Mishnah Berurah points out that we have a din in the Gemara, Shok Deli Gemara Skulo. L'chatchili, not a lot of pause in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, in the middle of Kriya Shema, in the middle of a mitzvah that takes a while. It takes a while to recite the whole halal, whatever, the Mikra Megillah, let's say. So someone going to put, how long does it take to read the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end? Almost an hour, let's say 50 minutes, 55 minutes. So let's say they're reading the Megillah, and then the Balkori pauses after five chapters, and then they read, then they come back, everybody goes home or something, then they come back, and an hour later he picks up. He could have read the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end during that hour. That's called shock the ligma skula. So l'chatchila, you're not allowed to be shock the ligma skula. There's no syrup between the first half and the second half. But the evet, sometimes you are yotze, sometimes you're not yotze. And that's a machlokes is the mechaber and the ramah representing a machlokes of rishonim. What's the when do you say b'di'evad yeah and when do you say b'di'evad no? So the mechaber paskan is the difference between shmona esrei as opposed to everything else. Whenever you shok the ligam askul shmona esrei, it breaks up the whole davening because he's not oimid lefnei hamelach. Oimid lefnei hamelach. The king is not going to wait for an hour. If you don't say anything, king is going to walk away, going to throw you out of the palace. Any other mitzvah you say shok the ligam askul is just a problem lachatchila. The Ramos says differently. Not a chilek between shmona esrei versus everything else. It's a chilek between why was he shok the ligam askul. If you had to go to the bathroom and you can't say Kriya Shema in the bathroom, you can't read the Megillah in the bathroom, and it took him an hour, whatever, let's say, he's saying Kriya Shema. Could have said the whole Kriya Shema, that doesn't take an hour. And he's sitting in the bathroom for 10 minutes. 10 minutes could have said the whole Brichas Kriya Shema with everything. So Shok Deilig Maskula, when he wasn't allowed to do the mitzvah during that period of time, wasn't able to. So that's a bigger hefsek. Even b'di'evad yirad yetz, but he just pauses. He could have said the rest. Pauses and then it's only a problem l'chatchila. But l'chatchila for sure there is an issue of shok deilig maskula. So that's an issue. The Mishnah Brewer raises in the Bir Halacha, the Kohanim have the practice of Yirech Hashem, and then they pause. They give everybody a chance to say the Rebbe Shalom, the Tefillah about the Chalomis. He could have said all the three psukim, Yirech Hashem, Yishmerach, he could have said it slowly, and the amount of time that it takes to say that. Then finally say, V'yishmerecha, V'yichuneka, or Shalom. So there's such a long pause, he's not shok the ligma skula. So he recommends that the Mishnah Brewer recommends. He says if there's no clear meaning amokim, I mean, all over the world, meaning amokim is that you say the Rebbe Shalom in the middle of the pasuk after Yirech Hashem before Yishmarechem, means if he can get away with it. If you can get away with it, you should change the meaning. That's what the Mishnah Brewer means, and you should say Yirech Hashem Yishmarecha and then pause and let the people say the Tefillah the Rebbe Shalom. How did he solve the problem? The mitzvah of duchening, you have to say all three psukim, Yirechecha, Yoyer, Yiso. So even if you're going to finish the whole pasuk, everybody's going to say Amen. And then the people are going to say the tefillah about the chalayim. The Gemara talks about saying the tefillah for the chalayim. Still going to be an issue. Why does the Mishnah Brura only worry? Why is he only worried about hafsok of shok teilig maskula in the middle of a pasuk? In between the first pasuk and the second pasuk, in between the second pasuk and the third. So it's also a problem of shok deligma. I don't know. That's not the minig. The minig is that they pause in the middle of Hashem before the Yishmerech. So then the Mishnah Berurah says maybe the answer is that if they sing a niggun, maybe that's if the Kohanim sing a niggun, so it's considered as if there's no shoha. The Kohanim are connecting Yirech Hashem with Yishmerech by blending everything together with a niggun. That's his suggestion. They should dafke sing a nigun. If they don't sing a nigun, it's going to be a problem. I'm sure they'll makor. It'll only be a problem l'chatchila. Won't be a problem that he have it, but it'll still be a problem. The old minig used to be, the Mishnah Berurah points out, the old minig used to be before the Hasidim came around, that they said the tefillah for the chalaimus all three times. And at the end of the first pasuk, they said, they ended off with Sishmereini. The second pasuk ends off Yichuneka. They said Usulchaneini, and the third pasuk ends off Shalom. So they used to say Visiritzeini. But then the Hasidim came and they put in a whole Chasidish tefillah that doesn't come from the Gemara. Instead of the third time the tefillah for the Baruch Shalom for the Chaloimus, they changed it. So what's going to be with the Usulchaneini Visiritzeini? So they changed the text. So they said the first two times when you say the tefillah on the chalaimus, you say v'sishmereini, uschaneini, v'siritzeini. You say all three. So Mishnah Berurah says, but the misnagdim don't say the third tefillah that's printed in the siddur, the chassidish siddur. Chassidim changed the text. They say you should say all three times the tefillah for the chalaimus, and the first time you should end off v'sishmereini. Second time you end off is Chaneini, the third time you end off is Sirtzeini. Most people don't know that Mishnah Berurah. The Gemara said if there's only one Kohen, so you can't be Mitzavehen. You can't say, we request of you, because it says Amor Lahem, the Torah Shabbat Peh interprets Amor Lahem. So you have no right to demand of him that he should do him. So the different, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, there are different minhagim. There's only one Kohen, and you don't call out Kohanim. Some of the Chazonim, who are more learned than the others, so they, instead they know Hebrew, so instead of screaming out Kohanim, they would scream out Kohen. There's only one Kohen. So Tosfos says there is such an opinion in Yerushalmi, but that is not accepted either. That is not accepted. You're not supposed to call out anything because you can't be mechayiv him. You can't request. You have no right to demand of him that he should say the bracha, because it says Omor Elohim. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there are two minhagim. There's only one Kohen. Does the Chazan say Yevarechecha? What is that all about? That the Chazan is makri. He said Yevarechecha. Hashem, Yish Merecho, what is that all about? So half of the communities follow the view that that's a tzibui. It's like pulling teeth. We tell a Kohen, Kohanim, we want you to give us a bracha. What should we say? Say Yivarechecha. Say Hashem. Say Yish Merecho. So if that's a tzibui, word by word, then if it's Echod, only one Kohen, you have no right to demand, so you have no right to call out. So he says, the Kohen says on his own, Yech Hashem Yish Merecho. The Chachazin shouldn't call out. The common practice is not so. The common practice is that we assume that the chazan calling out Yivarechecha Hashem Yishmarecha is shelo yiter, that the Kohanim should know what to say, they shouldn't make a mistake. So that's why there's a question. The Kohanim may make a mistake in the middle of the duchen, but they're not going to make a mistake on the first word, Yivarechecha. In Hilchos Tkiyah Shofar, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that discussion. Why usually the mechaber, the rabbi, to be the makri. So the rabbi calls out, Tikiyo, Shvarim Truo. So the rabbi calls out. So does he have to call out the first Tikiyo? The Baal Tekeh knows that he's supposed to blow Tikiyo. If he blows Tikiyo, he doesn't know whether he was yotze. Was it kosher? Was it acceptable or not? So the rabbi has to say, Shvarim Truo. Then he says, Tikiyo. He tells him the next one. But the first one he doesn't have to tell. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes over there. If there's no clear-cut meaning, what do you mean no clear? All over the world, the meaning is the Makri says the first Tikiyo. So it means if he can get away with it. If the rabbi can get away with it, it shouldn't be Makri the first Tikiyo, because that's the Ike Hefzik in between the Broche and the Tkiyah Shofar. So the rabbi is the one who's being mafsik. The rabbi should be more careful in the Shmiras HaMitzvahs than the Balabatim. So by duchening also, it's a problem. Since our practice is even when there's only one Kohen, we call out Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecho. So we don't assume that we're being mitzavah them. The calling out is just Shelo Yitta. So why do you call out the first word Yivarechecha? He knows that he should say Yivarechecha. But that's the minute. You call out the first word, even though it's not for the sake of Tzibui. What's the story? A cotton duchens, it doesn't duchen. So the Mishnah says a cotton does not duchen. Nonetheless, the Gemara that says cotton ha'adeli says kapov cholkan lo trumba bebeis ha'gorin. If the cotton is old enough that he knows how to duchen, you see that the katanim do duchen. So Tosfos says the kasha, it's a stira. There are three stiras. One Gemara says you don't duchen, a cotton doesn't duchen. The other Gemara talks about cotton, and then he says, kapo cholkan lo trumba bebeis ha'gorin. You can trust him that he's not going to be mitame yet, so you give him the truma. You have to give it to his father and let the father watch him and give it to the kid. And the third Gemara says, the katanim don't duchen. You shouldn't duchen until it's mali zikona, until he's 18 years old and his beard starts to grow already. So it's a three-way stira. So Tosfos works out all of the answers. So others point out that line, Kotne Adel Lisa's Kapop Chokon Latrumba Bebeis HaGoren, appears in the Sifrei Zuta. We have a regular Sifrei. Stam Sifrei is Reb Shimon, following Reb Akiva Shittas. Then there's a Sifrei Zuta on Bamidbor only, that Rashi calls the Sifrei B'Panim Acheres. We call it the Sifrei Zuta. And it's a different style Hebrew. It's a lot of Aramaic blended in, and it's midbeis midrash shel Rabbi Shmuel. It's not midbeis midrash shel Rabbi Akiva. The Rambam has a whole bunch of dinim, and the Rabbi asks where in the world did he get these dinim from. So a lot of them are straight from the Sifrei Zuta. A lot of the dinim that the Rabbi didn't know what the makkah was are from the Sifrei Zuta. The Rashi and Mishnayos quotes a lot from the Sifrei Zuta. So the Sifrei Zuta has a different girsa in this line. Not Katan Adelisa as Kappa, but Katan Adelisa as Kinofov. That's based on the Pesuk in Treyosar. That when they came back in the beginning of the Baisheni, so they were testing the Kohanim to see if they knew the Dinim. So the Gemara at the end of the first Perek in Psochim, Rav Chanin is going to quote him. So the Pesuk says, Hen Yisa Ish Kodesh Beknaf Begodov. Stam Yadayim Ashniya Sein. So if you're going to touch the Trum, you're going to touch the Karban, you're going to passel it. Unless you wash until it's Yadayim and it ends. This is stretch out the bottom of the Beged, and they ask the other person to put the Truma, to put the Karbanas in the Knaf HaBeged. So that makes sense. Kata Yadayi Lisa is Kenofov. If the child is intelligent enough, he's not Bar Mitzvah yet. He knows how to stretch out the Beged, that he knows not to touch it with his hands. So Chok and Lo Truma, the base Hagbarit, you're allowed to give him Truma. You see that he's careful about Tumas Hayadai. If it's in Ben, it makes more sense. But that's not the Girsa that we have in the Gemara. We have in the Gemara, Kote Adelisa is Kapop, he knows how to do him. It's a Nun missing. That's what they pointed out. The different Girsa makes better sense. But by us in the Gemara, it doesn't say it like that. One of the many Dinim by Duchaning, it has to be Ponim, can I get Ponim? So that's what, in a lot of shuls, the people are so nervous, they don't want to look at the Kohanim stand, so they turn around. They have their backs to the Kohanim, so they're not included in the bracha. Has to be ponim keneged ponim, because it says, Kos rochas b'nei Yisrael, Omor lahem kodam ha'medaber el chavera. People talk to each other, ponim keneged ponim. During the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo, he writes in the Kesem Mishnah, they started the meaning that the Kohanim want to protect themselves and others from looking at the hands while they're duchening. So in some communities, they would put the talus over their face. They would have the hands exposed, so they wouldn't look at their own hands. In other communities, they would put the talus over their hands so the tzibur wouldn't see. In other communities, they put the talus in between their face and their hands and then covering over their hands, and neither they nor the tzibur could look at their hands. So Rabbi Yankov Vemdin in his city writes, Rabbi Yosef Karo didn't see anything wrong with that meaning, to cover over the hands. Rabbi Yankov Vemdin thinks that it's keneged adin, and you're not yotze the duchen because you have to have ponim keneged ponim. So that's not normal. I want to talk to someone, I cover my face. You uncover your face, ponim keneged ponim. You should be facing each other. Rabbi Yankov Vemdin was opposed to the meaning, but Rabbi Yosef Karo approved of the meaning. He just has a shaila. In the case of Mishnah, he writes a shaila, and then by the time he wrote to Shulchan Aruch later, that's a discussion. Which did he write first? So you see from here that he wrote at least part of the case of the Mishnah was written before at least part of the Shulchan Aruch. In the case of Mishnah, he's not sure that we have a Mishnah Megillah Kohen, who a Kohen who's a Balmum is permitted to duchen. Even though a Kohen who's a Balmum cannot be Makar Karbanos, can't do Avodah, and duchening is considered like an avodah, but still, the Gemara learns that from Pesukim, a kohen is a balmum is permitted to duchen. But if the Mishnah says if he has a balmum, part of yadav v'ragla, this will draw attention to his hands, and the people must stare at his hands, and that's not proper to look at the kohen's hands when he's duchening. So they made a din with the rabbanon, a kohen has balmum, part of yadav v'ragla, should not duchen. So the Kesem Mishnah is mesupik that bizmanah said that the kohen cover over the hands. You can't even see if you're looking straight ahead. There's nothing to see. His hands are covered. Maybe the whole din in the Mishnah doesn't apply. So he's not sure. Then later, when he wrote to Shulchan Aruch, he wrote, the din doesn't apply. The din in the Mishnah no longer applies. So that's a pella. What do you mean? We usually have a rule, davish v'minyan tzoch minyanach al atira. Whenever there's a gzera de rabbanon that was made because of a certain consideration, even if you live in a generation where that consideration is no longer a problem, that's called davish v'minyan. You still have to observe the gzera de rabbanon. So how does Rabbi Yosef Karo write in Shulchan Aruch that the din in the Mishnah in the Gila no longer applies? That a kohen has mumim v'panim yodav v'raglav is allowed to duchen because he can't see his hands anyway. But why isn't it a davish v'minyan? So we suggested based on the Mishkan as Yankif has another collection of tshuvas that's called Koheles Yankiv. The first half of the Sefer is a commentary on Maseches Brachos and a couple of more commentaries on Erevin and different Mesichtas in Moed. And then the second half of the Koheles Yankiv is additional tshuvas on Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. So the first two tshuvas in Chelek Choshen Mishpat are one tshuva basically, are very important. There was a famous Din Torah between the two publishing houses that for many centuries, when someone would print the Sefer, so the Rabbanim would put a Cherem, no one's allowed to, let's say someone prints a Rambam. So he did a service to the community. He printed a Rambam. Now it's available. So what are you going to do? He laid out a fortune of money to put out a Rambam. It costs money. You have to lay out money. And then another wise guy is going to buy one copy of his Rambam. He's going to make a million Xerox copies. He's going to undersell. He didn't have to lay out the print. The other guy laid out all the money to print it. And then I'm going to make Xerox copy and I'll sell it for less than the first guy. I don't have to set the type. So they used to make a Cherem. No one's allowed to sell a Rambam for 5 years. And the assumption that in the course of 5 years, Mustama, he will sell enough copies that he will cover his expenses and make a little profit. So that is shine. So even if he didn't sell all the copies, but he made enough profit, so he won't be discouraged from printing again. Because if he let people reprint, he doesn't have the right. I don't have a copyright on the Rambam just because I printed an edition of the Rambam. So no one else has a right to print. But if others are going to print and then I'm going to lose a fortune of money, then I won't want to do anything. I won't want to print any svarim because I can lose a fortune of money. So they used to make such a nisa. So what happened was, I think the Slavita shas, they printed a shas and then the Rabbanim put a chem. No one's allowed to print a shas in 5 years. So they sold out all the copies of the shas within 3 years. And then they figured we have another 2 years to go, so they printed another edition. So the people in Vilna, Achim Alman Aram, they heard about it, that Slavita sold out all the copies. They sold out all the copies. They already made a profit. So it's understood. The reason why they wrote a cherem in 5 years, they should be able to sell enough copies to cover their expenses and to make enough profit and shine. So they made enough profit. So they printed a shas. So the Slavita brought them to a Din Torah. You have no right. No one has a right to sell a shas for 5 years. So they said, that's ridiculous. The 5 years, is that you should make sure that you made enough profit to cover your expenses and so on. You made more than enough profit. So that was the big shot. So the Mishkan of Yankev writes, it's an issue of Dov Shem Emin, Yitzoch Mi'inach and Atira. When the Rabbanim make a cherem 5 years, everybody knows what the cherem is all about. They should sell enough copies. But that's usually the Din Dov Shem Emin. So he has a klal, and he brings a raya from a rush. That whenever there's a gzera de Rabbanon, ba'akiras dovim and atoira, the Chachamim tell you, don't fulfill a mitzvah in the Torah for a certain reason. So they had to incorporate the tam ha'gzera into the nusach ha'gzera. Usually when the Chachamim made a gzera de Rabbanon, it wouldn't reveal the reason for the gzera. Until a year, the Gemara says on Avodah Zarah. After a year, they would let everybody know the reason. Because they're going to say right away, you're not allowed to do this because of this reason. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry will say, I'm not an idiot. I'm an intelligent person. I know when it's us, I know when it's mut. I'll be careful. I don't need the gzeres for Amaratzim, not for me. So everyone will think he's God's gift to the world. And he won't observe the gzeres of Rabban. So that when they make gzeres, they didn't publicize the reason. But once in a while, when they make a gzeres, Bakira, Dovman, Atoira, they say, you're not allowed to do a certain mitzvah. Then they had to incorporate. They can't make a din. You're not allowed to blow shofar when Hashana falls on the Shabbos, period. It's against the pasuk and the chumash. You do have to blow shofar. So whenever they made an akira, you're not allowed to duchen. If you have mum in part of your own, it's a din, you are mechayiv to duchen. So they had to incorporate the tam akzera into the nusach akzera. And whenever the tam is incorporated in the nusach akzera, whenever the tam doesn't apply, the whole akzera doesn't apply. If they made a akzera stama, they didn't say that, they always have to have a good reason for akzera. But if they didn't incorporate the Tamak Zerah into the Nusach Zerah, that's when you have a Din Dov Shem Emin Yitzchak Mirach Natar. And he proves that this is a very good tshuva too. The first two tshuvas, Chelek Choshem Mishpah, because it's about the Slavita Din Torah. with the Shas. That was when Rabbi Kivega took a stand on that machlokes, and then the Slavita were chassidim, and the Vilna were misnagdim. So the chassidim said Rabbi Kivega is senile, and his son is a criminal, Shlomega is a crook, and he wound his father up. And Rabbi Kivega cursed them, "I'm not senile. You have a chutzpah to say I'm senile. They don't know my son is a criminal, he's a crook." So everybody was cursing everybody, and some of them died. Because Rabbi Kivega's cursed, some of the chassidim died afterwards. It was a terrible machlag. And I said, that's when the Mishkan and Sankiv wrote his tshuva at that time, at that winter. So that's the same over here. A kohen has mumin b'pon of yodav v'raglov. Men atar is mukhayiv to duchen. Midrabanon, we don't allow him to duchen. Akiva's dov men atar. Because the people may be so fascinated by looking at his missing fingers. I'm missing. I remember there was a kohen, when I was growing up, there was a kohen in my father's shul, I used to daven, who learned in Hebron and Yeshiva when they had the rites, and they cut off his ear. The Arabs cut off his ear. He go up to duchen, missing an ear. But he wore a talis, and no one saw it when he was duchening. There wasn't anything to see. Or Kohanim, a lot of time, Moshe Feinstein has tshuvas. A kohen has, they cut off his leg, and he goes with a plastic leg, with an artificial leg. So today, you can't see it. He's wearing trousers. You can't see what he has. You can't see his hands. You can't see his face. So he's allowed to duchen today. So that's the answer. Since over here, the gzera was Bakira's dov menatar, they had incorporated the time gzera into the nusach gzera. So here you don't apply the rule of dov shem minyan, tzorch min yirach ala hatira. Rabbi Tzala Vilna was the older brother of Rabbi Shlomo Vilna. They were both dayanim in Vilna, the late 1800s, when the Vilna Shas was being printed, and then for years after, when they appointed Rabbi Chaim Moser. Rabbi Shlomo Vilna was much older than Rabbi Chaim Moser. Rabbi Chaim Moser was appointed as the head of all of the dayanim in Vilna. So they were together for a while. Rabbi Chaim Moser outlived him, but Rabbi Shlomo Vilna was there at that time. So Rabbi Tzala Vilna, the older brother, wrote a sefer. It's called Reishis Bikurim. He intended that to be his first sefer. It was the only sefer that he put out. He writes in his sefer, Reishis Bikurim, he once visited in Trieste, in Italy, and they were so excited. He's a kohen. They duchen every day in Trieste, Sfardim. So they said they're going to be mechaber him to duchen. What do you mean mechaber him? Everybody duchens. And no. Their practice was only one kohen. They picked out whoever was the most learned. One kohen says the psukim, and the other kohen just stand there, and they yirtzu with shemei kohenah. So he never heard of that before. And he writes, ooh, now he knows pshat in the Mishnah Megillah. There's a Mishnah Megillah that nobody in the world explains what it is. It says, today, people will kill the gabbai in order to get mafter. The people, they run from one shul to the other. Every week they have to get mafter because he has yahrzeit for his grandfather, yahrzeit for his uncle, yahrzeit for his great-grandmother. But every week he has yahrzeit, he has to get mafter. In the days of the Tanaim, mafter was a bizoyan. So you had to give him a booby prize. Whoever got stuck with mafter felt insulted, so they had to give him a prize. So I think the Mishnah says something like that. Whoever got stuck with mafter, if he's a kohen, you mechabed him, the booby prize is, he should duchen. What do you mean he should duchen? All the Kohanim duchen? Nobody explains it. So Rav Shlomo Vilna, so Rav Tzala Vilna writes, that's what it means. He's the one who says the psukim and the others are yotze with shemei kohanim. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. Nobody explains pshat. So the Beis HaLevi has a sefer on Bereishis and Shmos. In between Bereishis and Shmos and the old editions, there was a blank page. So in Europe, that was an attitude they used to have. Not to waste a blank page. He has four paragraphs unrelated to each other, nothing to do with Bereshis or Shmos, on four different halacha topics. So he writes, I saw in a recent sefer, he's referring to Rabbi Tzal Vilna's sefer, Reishis Bikurim. He saw in a recent sefer that you say Shemei Kohenah by Duchening, and that's Pshat in the Mishnah Megillah. He said, with all due respect, it's not correct. Because the din is you have to Duchen the Kol Rav. Loud enough that everybody in the shul should hear. If everybody's standing in the front row, you can whisper. But if there are people in the back of the shul, you have to scream. You don't scream on the top of your lung. Scream loud enough that everybody in the shul should be able to hear. So if you yotze with Shemei Kohenah, you don't hear anything. There's no kol rum. So you can't be yotze. That's what the Beis HaLevi writes. He didn't want to insult him. It's all the builder, so he doesn't say who. So the Netziv for a while was called Rosh Yeshiva Maloshim with the Beis HaLevi. Then later on they became the Chutonim, the Beis HaLevi's son, Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, married the granddaughter of the Netziv. The Din Torah was who's going to be Rosh Yeshiva. The Talmidim made a whole machlokes. The two of them didn't have a machlokes. They lived in peace and harmony. Talmidim made a whole machlokes out of it. So the Netziv doesn't want to insult the Beis HaLevi. So he says he saw in a sefer that came out recently, it means the Beis HaLevi, that he doesn't allow Shemer Kohenim because he need called Rabbi Duchen. He says, with all due respect, it's not correct. Because the Mishnah says that the farmers who bring Bikurim have to recite Arami Ovid Ovi out loud, the Kol Rom. And if a farmer doesn't know how to recite Arami Ovid Ovi, they would have somebody say it for him, and he would be Yotze with Shemer Kohenim. The Tup Shotam in the Mishnah, where they would be Yotze, the farmer would be Yotze with Shemer Kohenim, or the farmer would say word for word after him. The fellow would say Arami Ovid Ovi, and the farmer would say Arami Ovid Ovi, word for word. But with some Rishonim Larm Pshat, that they would be Moitzi, the farmer, with Shemer Kohenim, and you need Kol Rom by Mikra Bikurim. So you see that it is called Kol Rom. He agrees with the Beis HaLevi that you don't say Shemer Kohenim by Duchening, but for a different reason. He says, like Tfilah, that we had the Ran in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Ran and the Rift, the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, quoted the Yerushalmi, that the three areas of Allah where you don't allow Shemer Kohenim. So one of them was davening. So since Yivrech Hashem Yishmerecha is a brach, it's a tefillah, so you don't say Shemei Kohenim there. So that's what the Soloveitchik family, both in Eretz Yisrael and here in America, they said that the Netziv's kasha was not really a valid kasha. He misunderstood the Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi didn't mean to say that by Shemei Kohenim it's a lack of kol rom because you don't hear anything. No. The one who's saying Yirech Hashem, the Kohen is saying Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha, says it out loud. And the Kol Rom carries over to me also. It's considered as if the other Kohenim said the Kol Rom. But he meant to say a different thing. You need Panim, can I get Panim, that there should be a Tziruf between the Mevorach and the Mizbarach. So you need, it should be the Kol Rom, there should be a Tziruf. So if I just stand there and I don't say a word, there's a lack of Tziruf. They didn't mean that it's so quiet, you don't hear anything. That was Nakasha. Shemir Kohenim carries over whatever if he said Bikol Ram is considered as if I said it Bikol Ram. But Sof Kol Sof, there's no Tziruf between me and the Mizbarech because I'm not saying anything. You have to have a Tziruf. That's what the Beis HaLevi meant. Yeah. Javahari, when he was a Talmud learning in Eretz Yisrael, was all upset. You see, a lot of Kohanim don't lift up their hands Keneged HaKseifayim. The din is you have to lift up your hands at least keneged ha-kesefayim, if not higher. So a lot of times the Kohanim shuckle. So when they're shuckling, so when the head is back, then the hands are keneged ha-kesefayim. When they're shuckling forward, then the hands are lower than keneged ha-kesefayim. So he made little cards with all the dinim. Everybody, all the Kohanim, should make sure that they duchen with the priestess yadayim. At least keneged haksefayim. I'll close with this. It's late. By Netilas, the Gemara Brachas has two different places. The same din. Tekev l'netila bracha. So from the context of the two Gemara, see, they're talking about two different things. You shouldn't be mafsik between Netilas yadayim for bread and hamoitzi. And then you shouldn't be mafsik between my machrayim and birchas hamazon. Tekef l'netila bracha. Does the din of tekef l'netila bracha apply to duchening? Gemara says that there in Eila Nemorim, in the end of Seito, the Kohanim have to wash the hands. Suyadech and Kodesh Avorchas Hashem, they have to wash their hands before they duchen. Do they have to wash their hands immediately before they're about to duchen? Or can they rely on the netilas yadayim that they did in the morning, before they started to daf? So that's, Tosfos is not true. Tosfos on the daf is not true. So we go l'chumra in both directions. So we have the Kohen wash his hands again, right before duchening, but they don't say a bracha on the Netilas Yadayim, because maybe they could rely on the Netilas Yadayim that they did in the morning. Maybe there was no need. There was no need, so you have no right to say a bracha. That's the common practice. Okay, we left out a lot of dinim. Tov, we should all be blessed with all the brachas that the Kohanim are kind enough to give us. So tomorrow there's a graduation. They want the Rabbeim to attend. I'm going to try to attend. And then we'll do that.